Finally, we are back. It is about time. It's been 2 weeks. And
it's been a year.
It's been a year. So this show is all about the return of Law & Order SVU. And yep. Alex, I'm going to throw it to you next week, Thursday. Rank your top 8 favorite SVU episodes.
I don't have that at the tip of my head right now.
The ones with debauchery.
Let me rephrase it. Anything that Stabler makes a majestic return to. Uh-huh. If you get into like season 22, 23.
Anytime he's ramping up his rage and he's bodying somebody in an alley, generally that's one that you want to make sure you tune in for.
If he gets on the screen and he has a goatee, yeah, something bad is going to happen.
Somebody's in trouble and it's not him.
And if you see his forearm tattoo, it's trouble for the fifth.
Yeah. It's hard to, it's gotten really hard to watch him in that mode when I can only think of him from Wet Hot American Summer with the apron on talking to a can. It's great. Like sometimes my brain just like flashes back to that. It's really hard to go back and forth.
Talking to the can, it's the voice of Archer.
Jay Benjamin.
We're here to dig through some NFL playoffs, a little bit of FanDuel, maybe a bet or two that we'll help guide you through. But before we get into the playoffs, there was some news about like 3 major coaching changes. Obviously, Pete Carroll, Nick Saban and his program, and Bill Belichick. I know you guys are closely, you know, related to the Patriots. You've been in the building for years. Tell me your feelings about the Belichick news.
I'll go first because it's going to be less technical, and it's just a gut check sadness more than anything. Even though you've heard people screaming, the team's been underperforming for 3 to 4 years now. But you know, we still have the 2000s and 2010s that we think about, and it's the end of an era officially. So it's sadness, but I think ultimately a chance to build.
Yeah. That's it. It's like, as simple as that. It's the end of an era. We've like, he brought us 6 championships and like countless, like just like relevant football, which is a treat that most fans don't get.
The stat I was just reading that he was in the Super Bowl 2/3 of the year. No, 1/3 of the year he coached and won it 1/4 of the years he coached.
Yeah. It's insane.
It's incredible.
And in an era when it was the rules were set up specifically to avoid teams doing it, like, and everything working against them, like every little, like, as we get further away from like Deflategate, it becomes a bigger joke when you think of all the other things that are happening right now that like don't get any recognition. Like, it's just, there were so many things against them that it really did, you know, it fueled the hate of Patriots fans, but it really was like what they accomplished is probably never going to be done again. Like, we'll never see it in our lifetimes.
So as someone that doesn't love the Patriots, but respects the hell out of Bill Belichick, like,
yeah,
you knew going into it, like, there is no better coach in terms of game plan and preparation. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you have a lackluster roster, like, you've got a chance to win because he's on the sidelines. So, kudos to Belichick. And so anyway, we're getting into it. We're in the playoffs. Alex, give me your Super Bowl matchup. Who do you like?
Honestly, it's from the NFC. I think it's definitely going to be the 49ers. I don't think anybody on that side can compete with them right now. They're just rolling too hard. And honestly, everything in me wants to say the Ravens, but we were talking about this, right? It's not going to be a 1-1. So if I'm going to go kind of out on a limb here, I'm honestly going to say the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
Yeah, they're going to ramp up the offense. I know they have some holes and a little bit of injury right now, but McDaniels will get through it. That's going to be my guess.
Yeah, I know we it's been such a bizarre year. We have to check with Rick. We got to get him back on for the recap. I think I picked Ravens Niners. It might have been Ravens Eagles, unsure. Something weird's going to happen. I think that there's 2 teams. There's only 2 teams in each conference that can get there, I think. Actually, I'll say 3. So I think Baltimore and Buffalo have a shot. KC, only because of Mahomes, even though I really don't like that team. San Fran and Dallas seem to be the most obvious over there. But I wish that So if the Packers beat Dallas, that would send the Rams to play the winner of Tampa, Philly. Okay. And I think the Rams are like sneaky live. Yeah.
But can the Rams, so I have a future in on the Rams to win the Super Bowl, or to get to the Super Bowl rather.
It's always a safe bet on teams that have done it with players that know how to get it done. Like if they don't have to play the Niners in round two, which right now is the most likely scenario, if the Packers win, I think the Rams have a real shot to make the Super Bowl.
You're just discounting the Lions completely, huh?
I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, do they get by the Lions?
They're not a complete team, and they've never been there, and they don't know what it takes, right? They don't have a defense. They have no defense. So they're susceptible to getting beat late in games with a drive from a quarterback who knows how to win a game with 2 minutes on the clock, and that's Stafford.
And
so,
a coach, too, right?
And a coach. They're very susceptible to that. I think the offense is fine. I think they're going to be able to play shootouts if necessary. But if they run into a defense that stops that offense, like the Rams probably can, they're in trouble because that defense is real bad, like bottom three in the league. It's real bad.
So Hutchinson getting after the quarterback and mixing things up.
And you know that McVay is going to throw Higbee over there on that side of the formation and chip him, and he's not going to be a factor. And they don't have anybody else that scares you on that defense. So I'm just like projecting forward. Like there's value in the Rams if the Packers beat the Cowboys, which is possible. Cowboys.
Do you think that Dan Campbell's blood pressure would go so high that his head would explode if they lost that game?
His kneecaps would explode first, and then he would fall to the ground. And Rick would be overjoyed. You should see how much Rick hates Dan Campbell. It's almost like he stole from him. It's bizarre. But yeah, I think he would lose his mind. Or maybe not. Who knows?
He doesn't love vibrant masculinity.
No. I saw Tony P on Instagram yesterday saying that he's been critical of Belichick. Did you see that post? I've been critical of Belichick in the past. I don't like that.
When was Tony P critical of anyone?
One of his 900 stories. Yeah.
So I'm going the other way. And two teams that I think America loves to hate right now, both the Cowboys, they haven't proven anything in the playoffs in their prior years. But I think some of that is like Dak isn't throwing interceptions the same way he was the last 2 years. And I think it's a storyline. Like he just won Walter Payton Man of the Year last year. Like it's coming full circle for him. And I wouldn't be shocked if we get like, oh, I hate Dak, but he won a Super Bowl. And then I will never count out the Chiefs until there's no time left on the clock. So I'm going Chiefs, Cowboys, and I don't think it's going to be a fun Super Bowl, but if that's what happens, I'm in.
Be a nice little parlay if you put those two to make it there.
Yeah, that's probably what, like plus 800?
Chiefs are plus 500 to make the Super Bowl, and the Cowboys are plus 320. So that's going to be times 3x. I mean, you're going to be looking at like a 1,200, 1,300.
Oh my gosh. All right. We're rich already. Before
we look at that, we can't help but make people money. It's too easy.
We have a few questions from listeners. And this is the Ask Me Anything session. Right now,
I think that it should be known for everybody that these have not been shared with Maddie and I, so we're coming into this blind.
No, you guys are coming in completely blind.
Yep, off the dome.
The first question is from Nick in Vermont.
No.
What tools are you guys using throughout the season to navigate your fantasy lineups?
AB, I know you're looking at a lot of fitness, a lot of combine testing type thigh circumference. Yeah.
I get a lot of body measurements from the, pro sites. Mm-hmm. But really, for me, it's honestly gut check looking at matchups. I'm not really using any third-party sites.
I spend a good amount of time looking at DVP, so defensive versus position. That becomes a little stickier later in the year. For the answer to this is the first, like, I think I've said this before, the first like month of the season, you're just trying to pick guys that you think are good. There's no data, there's no trends, there's nothing we can follow. But we pick up steam towards the middle to the end of the season because a lot of those trends become very real and easy to follow. So I look at a lot of, I look at defensive versus position, and then I look at a lot of the types of defenses that that the other side of the ball will play. So like cover two, cover three, do they blitz a lot? Some teams aren't a good matchup. Like if you've got a team that blitzes a ton against a team that has a really bad offensive line, you're going to want that defense. So I tend to look at just those types of matchups. And then I do spend a good amount of time looking at volume. So you want to play guys who are getting looks, right? Not guys who might catch one long touchdown pass out of three targets. You want guys who are getting like 10, 12, 13, 14 targets. And then you want running backs who are seeing a large portion of the market share inside of the red zone, because touchdowns are what wins you these things. So that's it. I don't really get much deeper than that. I think that any more than that, you're just kind of like circling the drain.
Well, so it goes to show, like, you won a season long league and you skyrocketed around week 14, where like everything was really close. And kudos to you, Maddie. I was a little frustrated because I circled the drain for the last
good week. Showing for the Millie boys, though. I think we were all in the top five, top six.
1-5-6. I mean, that's not bad out of 22.
At least you didn't lose the last 2 weeks, or come in second I know. Last 2 weeks by less than 1 point each.
We were texting as soon as I knew I was like probably gonna lock up the season long. I was hoping to lose by AB by a point for the final week so we could get back, because he's just been like right on the doorstep so many times. But yeah, it's that's pretty much what I look at. And it seems to work very well.
Yeah, I would say, like, I look right away, beginning of the week, I want to get an idea, right? Yep. And so, like, I'll go on the sports line, I'll optimize a lineup, and then I'll factor in, like, target share, all that fun stuff. Yep. And then also, like, the gut, too.
It is kind of fun to build a line. I do that as well. You build a lineup right away, and then by about Thursday, Friday, I dig into the data to see how close I was, and I hope that I'm, like, on the right track, but I'm willing to stay Bayesian and like change depending on matchups and as guys are ruled out. So I'm in the same boat as you there.
So next question from Rick in Chicago. Mm. How dare you?
Yep. First off,
that's the question.
First off, how dare you?
And then we have John in the Seacoast that veering off of fantasy football a little bit, but is it okay to wear cologne in 2024? Do you have any at home? And if so, which?
I mean, I'll own it. I still wear it when I go out. I don't know if I say it right, the Bulgari.
Mm.
BVL.
Oh, yeah, with the Roman numerals in there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's the same cologne I've had for probably 15 years. And it's a going out or wedding kind of occasion that it gets on.
I haven't worn cologne probably since high school. I think I wore something. I think it was like Aspen, it was called. It was like in a green bottle. I don't wear cologne, but I don't have a strong take on it. I do, you know, it depends on what you're wearing it for. Are you wearing it because you really enjoy the smell? Are you wearing it because you're trying to attract somebody? Are you wearing it because you smell and you're trying to mask it, right? Like, you know, if you have BO, then you probably are low on magnesium. And so that's something that you should target doing with your diet and your supplements to make sure that you don't have to. So I guess the intention matters. But for me personally, I haven't owned or worn cologne, but I'm a pretty weird guy. So maybe that's the norm. I mean, what percentage of people do you think?
I haven't worn cologne in years. The only occasional time was I would see my dad's like Old Spice cologne. The Polo. No, it was the Ralph Lauren.
I think that for people under 50, I'm in the minority that's still wearing it on occasion.
I mean, I have a pretty regimented skin routine. I'm putting lotion on my face after I get out of the shower every single day. And so that's a habit thing for me, but cologne just doesn't make the cut for better or worse.
So Maddie Weeks from Central Massachusetts wanted to know,
big pizza guy,
best snack for a flight.
Do you have, so this is great. This is like a dovetail of our favorite question. Do you have to purchase that snack at the airport? Okay. Probably, right?
Because you can't just buy it on JetBlue.
All right. So I do have a strong take here. If you are bringing up a pungent, aroma filled meal of some sort that is not universally loved on a flight, you are a terrorist. And that is unacceptable. Those people should be jailed. That's a crime. If you're bringing like a fish meal or something like crazy that you got on the meal on the flight, that's unacceptable.
Something as small as a salad with a strong dressing on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? What are you doing?
Too much.
What are you doing? It's right all along people that recline their seats. What are you doing? What do you needed that extra 0.2 inches of room? I mean, maybe AB, we'd allow it for you right now because of your condition, but otherwise I wouldn't. You know what I end up getting a lot of times is when you go into like Hudson News or something.
Yeah.
Those, I think it's pronounced like chalet. It's like, they're like almonds with cranberries and like honey on them. They're in like a little tear package. It's trail mix, but like up leveled a little bit. And there's not a ton of really bad ingredients in there. I tend to get a bag of that. You know, I'm going to snack a lot on a flight, as you know. I'm going to be snacking pretty heavily.
Those are that's shockingly calorie dense.
Yeah. 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 Nothing that is going to force me to have to get up and use the bathroom regularly. That's for sure.
It's pretzels and trail mix for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Resealable Cheez-It bags that they sell at Hudson News. That's the go-to.
Mm-hmm. Goldfish are always a hit. Yeah, those are go-tos. And then obviously, you know, the biggest thing of peanut M&Ms I can find is going to make the cut as well. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Final listener question. This is from Greg in Maine. Mm. How many free throws could you make out of 10? No fans, just alone.
Interesting. So I do this in my driveway when I'm bored as like a way to force myself to sort of like accomplish something. I'll go out in the driveway and I have to hit at least 10 in a row before I can stop. To answer the question directly, it generally takes me 2-3 tries to hit 10 in a row. And that'll probably be it. But I'm not, I mean, that's a skill that I just happen to have.
75%, 80%.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not missing many free throws.
Also some wild insight into Maddie's brain that he would probably be out there until 2 in the morning if he didn't hit that 10 in a row.
Yep, yeah. You get literally, I'm having conversations with myself, like, make this one or you literally can't go inside and have dinner or do like, yeah, it's a forcing function to get me to be a little bit more disciplined. But I also just love shooting free throws. It's like a fun motion for me. So it wouldn't take me very long. 2-3 tries to get 10 in a row, tops.
Gibby, you get a court. What's your answer?
Yeah.
So I'm a 75% free throw shooter. I'm 7 or 8 out of 10. Yeah,
I see that. I can see that. Shouldn't everybody be?
Oh, I think so. I'm going to give you my answer, and I would be 2 to 3 out of 10.
Really? See, I think you're underselling yourself.
I haven't shot a basketball in a year. I haven't even touched one.
I'm also a celebrated Papa Shot champion. It's the same motion, just a little bit heavier. So
see what happens in Hammock Peak. All right, back to football. We've got first, before we get into the lineup, and we're going to be really quick through the lineup, but games. So Cleveland-Houston is the first one, 4:30 on Saturday. Who do you guys like?
Man, Cleveland's got the matchups in their favor, but Houston has like a little bit of magic that I kind of just like to see them win because I like that team right now. So I'm going to pick Houston, and I think it's going to be a weird game. They'll win it close.
I have to also choose Houston. I know the Browns defense is good, but I think that the Houston offense clicks and they'll score points.
Yeah, I think Flacco comes back to earth, right? Like, you know, we've seen Flacco in New Jersey or in with the Jets and with the Broncos and wherever else he's been. He's been a disaster. And this ride has to end at some point. And I think like giving him a week off doesn't help him.
No. This is the Josh Dobbs 2.0 of the season, right?
Yeah. It
is. Yeah. It is. And D'Amico Ryans can dial up a D. He knows that side of the ball. So yeah, I think they could steal that one.
All right. So hammer Houston. I think they're like minus 2.5. But that might be one that you guys might like.
They are plus 2 at the moment.
Houston's
plus 2.
Yep. Okay. Just take the money line. Kansas City, Miami, Saturday at 8 p.m. This one's spicy. And it's not spicy in the way that Kansas City's been really exciting this year, but they've got a really good defense. And who knows what happens? Like, this might be like Mahomes all of a sudden comes alive with Rice or with Tony or whoever, or Kelsey finally realizes like he still has a pulse, and even though he's, you know, doing other things right now, but
yeah,
so I don't know. I like Kansas City here, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's Miami.
Chose Miami earlier, so I'm sticking.
Yeah, you did. Chiefs are minus 4.5. Dolphins are pretty banged up, and they've only beaten one team with a winning record all year, and it was at home. I don't think they're all that well suited to play in the cold, but I also don't trust the Chiefs. This one's really like, I think this is like pick the money line of the team you prefer here and go with it.
I think it's
I'm with you, and not to go against AB here, but like if I had to pick one thing I trust in this game, it's Mahomes out of everything else. So I guess we'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
You could also say that about Tyreek though, right? But yeah. Tua getting it to him, right?
That's the thing. Yeah, he's got to get it to him. So I don't know. This game could go either way. It wouldn't surprise me, but I don't think I'd be laying any points.
Shocking in this game. And I think it kind of dictates the rest of the AFC playoff bracket too. But
yeah. I think it's the game I'm the most excited to watch this weekend.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
Saturday night game too. That's a great one because it's a three-day weekend for a lot of people, I think, probably.
Nance? Is it Nance or no?
I don't know. Where did they send him? I think they sent them to Buffalo.
Oh, of course they did.
I'll have to look. Let me confirm Buffalo, that.
Pittsburgh. Going to be on Peacock.
People are up in arms about Peacock. Not our Peacock, but like the streaming service.
Can we just nail down Buffalo versus Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's that game. There's no world where Pittsburgh puts up a fight there.
Tampa Bay, Philly. That's Monday night, strangely enough.
Yep. Okay, so hold on. I just checked this out. So Noah Eagle and Blackledge have Browns and Texans. Tarico and Jason Garrett have the Miami-Kansas City game. Nance and Romo are in Buffalo, so that's a waste. I don't know why they did that.
That's such a waste for a game that will have no action.
I know. Tampa is going to win this game. Philly's a mess. They're a mess. AJB's not healthy. Jalen Hurts said yesterday he hasn't thrown a ball all week. He can't grip a ball. The defense has just been a sieve. I don't know what's going on there. They seem to be dysfunctional. They're not really on the same page. I said to you guys earlier, Tampa blitzed Hurts at a 59% rate last time they played, and he had one of his worst games of the year. He just hasn't really been. They just haven't seemed right. And the line is Bucks plus +3 because they're at home. So I would be taking that money line, and I would be pairing that money line with the Texans money line for a nice little like +400, +500. I think Philly's just cooked. I don't think they have it.
Al?
I mean, I still think that Philly has the just general skill to get it done, and it's hard to put my trust in Baker. I know he's having a good season, but what's a playoff Baker look like?
Yeah.
So I'm still going to ride Philly right now.
Yeah, I can't argue of that either.
I am too, and you know, part of it though, maybe it's Matt Patricia's fault.
Oh boy, everything is
out there. It got worse, which seems to be the trend over the last 3 years with him.
But, what a fraud!
Yeah, but the thing with Baker, like, he's going to get 2 years, 40 in the offseason, free agent. I hope Tampa re-signs him. I was looking at statistics and. It's almost a mirror image between his stats this year and Brady's last year. I know Brady didn't have great regular season last year. And you know, he's not Tom Brady. I'm not trying to say anything like that. But Baker's been really
good. Yes, you are.
I am.
He is kind of turning back into a Baker pumpkin last few weeks. So we'll see. I don't know. They might just run the ball a lot too, though. Like, the Eagles can't stop anybody. So I don't know. There's a lot of, like, toss-up games. Every game is within a score line-wise, 3-4 points, aside from the Bills game.
That being
we
said,
know the weather is going to be terrible in Buffalo. How's it going to be in Philly?
Weather in it's in Tampa.
Oh, it's in Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be warm and trashy, like Tampa is want to do.
I'm in on Philly. If there are two teams that I think can like turn it around in the playoffs, it's Philly and Kansas City, that might get hot in the playoffs. And we see that year after year. There's a team that like kind of stumbles in, but somehow like gets really hot. So last two games, we've got Green Bay at Dallas. I'm in on Dallas. You guys know that. But
I'm Dallas too.
I am too, but I'm not confident. I mean, it's 7. The line is 7. It's over a key number. You'd like to tease that down to 6.5 if you're going to be playing that game. Over under 50, going to be a lot of points. I need to see the Cowboys win something that matters before I give them any credit. But I mean, how much can you really trust the Packers, right? So I'm with you, Cowboys.
I think the game of the week is Sunday night at 8 p.m. The Rams and Stafford going back to Detroit. Maddie, you've been like really lighting up Detroit all week. But do you think the Rams can actually win this game?
Well, I was saying to you guys earlier, it would be if the Rams win this game and Green Bay beats Dallas, then the Rams will get the winner of Tampa, Philly in the next round, as opposed to San Fran. And I think they're live for a potential Super Bowl visit. They're just kind of playing really well at the right time. The defense has been sneaky good. Aaron Donald is back to sort of like owning games in the middle. They've got guys. They've got some linebackers. They've drafted really well. They had the rookie of the month for December for on both sides of the ball. So Stafford is a proven commodity. He can win games. He's going back home, probably wants to show out and like play really well. Like there's everything, nothing to lose, right? Detroit is the team that now is kind of flipped and has everything to lose and has all the pressure, and the Rams are coming in pretty loose and that offense is humming and the defense is playing well. I mean, you know, just putting it out there, a Bucks, Texans, Rams, three team money line parlay is going to pay out plus 1,061. So I like the Rams. I'm taking the Rams.
Al, where are you?
I'm going to stick with the Lions. I think that that team is due for a win here. I totally agree with MP's analysis here. I just think that if you look at it from close losses, what they've dealt with over the last two seasons, this team is due to explode a little bit right here. Do I think they'll get past this round? No. Or after this round? No. But I do think they win this week.
I'm with you. I think this is the most compelling game of the week. And I think the Lions sneak one out, but I think it's really close. I think it's a field goal at the end of the game. I think there's going to be 50 points plus scored. So I love it.
The Millie boys are going to have to do their own little bracket challenge for this, I believe. We're going to have to fill one out. Yeah, we're going to have to fill one out, and we'll let everybody see where we end up.
So our lineup this week, we were playing around with different quarterbacks. We landed on Stafford. We've talked about the Rams a little bit throughout this podcast, but anything to add on Stafford specifically?
No, just like 20 plus points in four of the last 6 weeks. I think they're just hot. I think they're just playing well. And Detroit's defense is by far the weakest part. Yeah. Yep.
Alex, do you want to go your pick of the week?
Oh, I'm going to ride that Lions game still and do my original AB pick and go with ASB.
Yep. Yep. He took us this far. Why would we abandon him now?
Like you said, you know, could be a 50 plus point matchup. Let's get ASB in there because he's going to get in at least once.
Yep.
So two kind of gross weather games, right? One in Buffalo and one in Kansas City. So we're staying away from that as much as humanly possible. And except for like a punt play, but we've got Kyren Williams at running back. And then I don't think the weather is going to impact Jimmy Cook.
Nope.
So anything to add on the running backs?
No, I like those guys. They're getting work. I mean, Kyren's got the biggest workload of anybody in the playoffs left. And Cook, ever since the Bills moved on at offensive coordinator and brought a new face in, he's been getting fed the ball. So, yeah, I like it.
Plus, the only thing to add is that it could have been Rashad, right? With the Eagles' run defense being so bad and being a warm weather game. But
yeah, I think you can't go wrong with either of them, to be honest. I've bounced back and forth between them all week.
So, and then at wide receiver, we've got Turpin, Hookah, and we already touched on ASB. But anything on Turpin or Hookah? I know Turpin was kind of a punt play, but
yeah, maybe punt play. Hookah pair with Stafford. And then we kind of had a fun little flex play. Why don't you give us our breakdown there, where we arrived?
Yeah, so Kadarius Toney is like the GOAT of the season, right? Like he's probably cost the Chiefs two wins. And the season looks entirely different. There was pick six week one against the Lions, and then obviously like the offsides play. But I don't think they've lost faith in him, which is shocking because I might disown him from my family if he was related to me. But you know, he's $4,700 in FanDuel, and why not? Like, they're going to keep looking to him. They're going to double up on Kelsey. Rice is going to have, like, a safety over him as well. So Tony's going to get some looks. He's not without talent. He has a ton of speed, and they're random guys that it happens every single year in the playoffs that someone goes off that like is part of the offense is getting the snaps. And I think for some reason, Tony is just calling our name. So it's Tony, Tony, Tony this week.
Yeah, he's done it again. Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about how the weather, right? Like maybe he's just going to luck into some weird manufactured plays and break a touchdown. Yeah. And he's not going to catch the ball. We know that. So it's got to
No, that won't happen.
I just remember him from the combine. I know you remember this, Gibby. Remember that video of him running a I think it was like a dig to the sideline. And it was like perfect consummation of Kadarius Toney. He like shook a guy at the line of scrimmage and he fell and like snapped his ankles and then completely just dropped the most open pass ever of all time
without fail. And
without fail,
he didn't drop two passes on Saturday night, but there is an opportunity for him to get into the end zone, and that's all we need at 4700. And no one else is gonna own him, which is great. Tight end, my favorite video of the entire NFL season was Njoku hanging out with fans in Cleveland after the game, and like they finally clinched the playoff berth. I think it was week 17, and you know, like I think he was taking shots of them or whatever. Like he was having a blast, and he wanted to get traded out of Cleveland a year and a half ago. But it seems like he's embraced the city, and he's kind of like I don't know, like not, lightning rod's not the right word for it, but like the goalpost, right, for Cleveland fans. And so I think, and you can score against Houston, and he's getting 12, 14, 16 targets. So jam him into your lineups. It's the right move with Njoku.
Yep. That's it. Do it.
And then Houston for defense. They get after the quarterback. Will Anderson might kind of have like a little Von Miller moment in him this postseason.
That's as high as praise as you can give out.
That was, I figured you'd find a way to close on a high note, and that was it.
Well, look, you know, everything's right in Denver.
Is Von active?
Yeah, Von's active. Von played last week.
He's 10-15 plays.
He'll make his impact. Guys, this has been fantastic to be back. What a wonderful time. I appreciate it. And look, we're going to be back next week. You'll see some special guests over the course of the playoffs and heading into the Super Bowl. Other than that, parting shots, Al, Maddie?
No. Exciting weekend. We're finally here, 18 weeks later.
Yeah, these games are something. The playoffs are great because watching it on the weekend is more fun than watching, like, the regular season where there's like a couple good games and a bunch of junk. Like all these games are like compelling to watch. So it's a different flavor. I like it.
Yep. Fire up the Gamblers Anonymous line after this
weekend.
That's
it. That's it. Get those parlays in. Progressive.
Take care, guys.
Later.
Bye.